All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the New Testament book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 13. The school tomorrow has a revival for the, it's for, starts tomorrow, goes Monday and Tuesday, and Pastor Kenny Baldwin from down in Northern Virginia is going to come and preach, I think, four times. Is that right, Todd? And so the first service is tomorrow at 9, then the second service at 11. And if you would like to come, you're more than welcome. We would ask you, though, if you do come, to sit in the back so that we can get all the kids down front, and so don't come in and take up the front seats. We're hoping that that we can see revival in our school, and so you pray for the meeting. If you can't attend tomorrow or Tuesday, pray for the Lord to bless. Now, Brother Baldwin got tremendously sick with COVID. And last year he had to sit in a chair in order to preach. But I think he's doing better now, and we're trusting the Lord that he is. But whether he is the old bombastic, you know, rip the sides off the walls and pull the lights down Kenny Baldwin, or the calm, passive, I don't feel well, Kenny Baldwin, the Word of God is still the same, and the Spirit of God is still the same. And so let's just encourage the school, and if you'd like to come and support the meeting, by all means, you are welcome to come. All right, John chapter 13, are you there? All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Now you'll remember over and over many, many times, especially in the Gospel of John, we read these words, "Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come." Well, in verse 1 of this 13th chapter, we read that his hour had come. All right, the hour for which he came, the reason for which he came. And that reason was to go to the cross and be offered as a sacrifice for our sin. All right, verse 2, "And supper being ended." Now that supper is the back to verse 1 again, the feast of the Passover. So it's the Passover supper. And we read, "And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, his hands. I looked at something else. What verse was I on? 10. I looked at something else, and when I came back, I couldn't find where I was. Sorry about that. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Now, we don't use the word whit. I'm going to let that go. What just popped into my mind, I'm going to let that go. I love you, John. I'm just, never mind. Okay? But is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he saith unto them, know ye what I have, what's the next word? Done to you. All right, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless. And then I want to speak to you on this subject, wash your feet every day. Wash your feet every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. And I pray that you will bless as we open your word and dig into this wonderful chapter and the wonderful things that are here. And Father, I ask you to help me as I speak, and I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. And Father, we need to hear from you tonight, and so I just pray that you will bless your word and draw us all closer to you as a result of what we hear. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for your blessings upon us, and I pray now that you will be with us again tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Someone has said that the Gospel of John divides itself as the temple was divided in the Old Testament. Chapters 1 through 12 are a picture of the outer court of the temple. Chapters 13 through 18 are like the holy place. And then chapters 19 through 21 are like the holy of holies. Now notice in chapter 13, we are entering into the holy place of the Gospel of John. We see in verse 1 that the Lord Jesus is alone in the upper room with his disciples celebrating the Passover supper. And the Lord Jesus, knowing that he will that evening be arrested and will be tried illegally through the night, and then will be nailed to Calvary's cross the next morning to suffer and to die. Well, the Lord is going to use this time to love on his disciples and to teach them a couple of very valuable lessons that they're going to need once he has done what he came to do and then ascends back to his Father. The first scene, really, in this chapter is a parable acted out, and it contains so many wonderful things. When the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, this was done for the purpose of teaching these men an important lesson on the matter of keeping a clean heart with God on a daily basis. I remember hearing I don't know, I guess it was when I was in college, but I remember hearing one of the chapel speakers, and I couldn't remember this week who it was, but that chapel speaker preached an entire sermon on keeping short accounts with God. And I never forgot that sermon. I can't remember who it was that preached it, but I've never forgotten that sermon. And that is good advice for any Christian. Just keep short accounts with God. Don't let your sin pile up until it overwhelms you. And so the Lord, in this first part of the chapter, teaches a lesson to them on having daily a clean heart. And he's, of course, also going to deal with the subject or the matter of eternal security, which I will point out. And he's also going to deal with the forgiveness of sin and about the importance of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before the message, let me make just a couple of general statements about the issue of the washing of feet in church. First of all, I think that everybody ought to wash their feet. All right? Now, Curtis Sutton used to say, if you don't, when you put odor eaters in your shoes, you just might disappear. So be careful. All right? I mean, we ought to wash our feet. I'm not sure, but I think we lost a second cousin that way in 1973. I'm not 100% sure. But understand this, folks. The emphasis here was not on what was done. The emphasis was not on what was done, but upon what was done, the picture of what was done. That's the focus. That should be the main thing that we see here. If you look at verse 7, it says that Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So they were there. They watched him wash the feet of all the disciples. They watched him. But he said, that's not what's important here, fellas. Don't get hung up on the picture or upon the tool and miss the picture that the tool is trying to nail to the wall. All right? So look at verse 12, same thing. It says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have what? Done to you. So the emphasis was not upon the actual action of the Lord washing the disciples' feet. Our Lord instead was referring to the spiritual meaning and not the actual action being done. Second observation that I want to call to your attention is that there is no mention of foot washing being practiced in the book of Acts. That's why we don't do it. All right? Now, I know there are a lot of folks who practice foot washing, but there's no mention of it anywhere in the book of Acts. Now, there is mention of baptism in the book of Acts, and there is mention of the Lord's Supper in the book of Acts. But there is no mention of, not even one, of the apostles or of any of the other disciples ever having a foot washing service. Now, I think it's quite clear that when the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, the whole idea was what was pictured. This was a parable that was acted out. The Lord was a master teacher. We know that. We have learned that. And the Lord Jesus was a master teacher. And what he did here was give an acted out parable to make the point that he wanted his disciples to see. Now, don't get off center, folks. Don't get off center while I'm preaching to you tonight and miss the whole point of the passage. I mean, don't get hung up on the tool that the Lord Jesus used here to make the spiritual point that he wanted the disciples to know and to understand. All right, everybody follow me so far? All right, now, let me clear the pipes here. Hopefully. Three things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the illustration that is in this story. The Lord Jesus, as I said a moment ago, was known for his ability to take great Bible truths and in a simple and easy way explain those truths so that even a child could get them. And that is basically what he is doing here. The way the Lord Jesus used simple methods like word visuals and parables, which is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And of course, word pictures that he used. Just absolutely phenomenal the way the Lord Jesus was able to teach his truth to the hearts of people. And that's what he is doing here in this chapter. And so how's he going to do that? Well, he's going to do that by taking a basin of water, putting a towel around himself, going and sitting in front of all the disciples, and as far as we can tell, he doesn't say a word. There's no words recorded. He sat down and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, they had never had that happen to them before. I say that because none of them even dared to speak up until you got to old impetuous Peter. I mean, they never seen anything like this before. And I can see them now sitting at reclining. I mean, they've just finished eating and they're all laid back and on the pillows that would have been on the floor. And the Lord Jesus comes and sits in front of them, kneels in front of them, and with his basin of water, takes the water and uses it to wash the disciples' feet, then dries them off with a towel, and then moves on to the next one. And I'm sure that old Peter was sitting there watching this whole thing go down, thinking, what in the world is he doing? But I'll guarantee you the others were a little confused too. What's going on here? We've never seen this before. We've never seen this before. I mean, it's quite clear that surely there is a visual parable that is taking place. The Lord is just allowing this thing to play itself out, knowing, of course, that Peter is going to give him the opportunity to explain the great truth that he is wanting them to see. Now, first, I want you to think about the reason for this. There is a reason. If you look back at verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. In other words, the Lord Jesus, knowing that now is the hour. Now is the time. This is what he came for. He came from God, and he's going to God. He didn't come to stay. He came long enough to die on Calvary's cross to take your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world, and then he went back to heaven. But the whole idea here in this verse is he knows that it's time. He knows that it's time. This is the reason that this happened. It was because he knew that he was soon going to leave them and this earth and go back to his Father in heaven. Folks, we are told that this whole thing happened because he came from God and he knew that he came in order to be crucified, and he knew that that was going to happen the next morning, and he knew that he would then go back to heaven, leave these disciples alone, and he knew that he was going to go back to take a seat at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach them, get this now, to teach them what they would need while he was away. This is what you fellas need while I'm away from you. And folks, listen, the Lord Jesus has not returned yet. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that what was done here is just as vital for all of us as it was for these disciples in John chapter 13. You see, he hasn't come back yet. So what was good for them, the lesson that they were to learn, is a lesson that we ought to learn. And folks, that is why the Holy Spirit of God put this in the Bible for our edification, for our learning. So he left earth and went to heaven to intercede to God on our behalf. Folks, that is what this story is all about. That's what this parable is all about. You might remember the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 7 in verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost who that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's what our Savior is doing right now in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and sitting there is making intercession for you and for me. every single minute and second of every day, the Lord Jesus is making intercession for us. In another passage, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John that the Lord Jesus is our advocate. He is our advocate. In other words, he is our defense lawyer. You see, when the devil comes along and says, did you see old Ray Shutt's sin today? And God says, well, yeah, I saw it. Don't forget now, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. And so the devil says, did you see him sin this morning? And the Lord Jesus said, wait a minute, Father, don't pay attention to that. I covered that sin. Amen. And so God just looks at the devil going back where you came from. You don't have a leg to stand on. Go. All right, so he's our advocate. He's our go-between. He is our defense lawyer. Now, folks, don't forget, the Lord Jesus was a servant to these men for 3.5 years, the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. And now he is going to show them that he will ever be a servant to them. He would give himself as a sacrifice for sin. He would die and be buried and then would raise from the dead and ascend back to heaven. Why? So he could continue to be that servant for you and for me. Our advocate, our go-between. And the Lord, thank God, is our servant. So Jesus is using this opportunity to teach these disciples and thus to teach us, because it is in the Bible for our benefit as well, but to teach us how we are to live our lives when he is in heaven away from us. And plainly put, we are to be servants for him. Now, the second thing I want you to see is the interrogation. All right, so while the lesson was in progress, the Apostle Peter spoke up and he interrupted the class. As normal, you know, Peter pipes up when he probably should have kept his mouth shut, but that's Peter. So the Lord Jesus saw his opportunity to teach this wonderful lesson. Look at verse 6, and you'll see Peter's interruption. In verse 6, Simon, then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, I want you to picture, those of you that have been to Israel with me, you know you've been in that upper room. And I want you to picture now those 11 men laying around on carpets, on pillows. They have just had their Passover supper. And now they are watching in, I think, probably stunned silence. What in the world is he doing? And I want you to watch. I don't know how far down the line Peter was. But let's just say he was, I don't know, four or five into the number. And the Lord then turns and looks at him and grabs his bowl of water and stops it in front of Peter. And Peter probably looked at him and said in verse 6, Lord, are you going to wash my feet too? You going to wash my feet? And so the interruption came. The Lord poured that water into the pan, grabbed the towel, went from man to man with the intent of washing every one of them feet and drying them with that towel. And I can imagine that as he came towards Peter, Peter in shock just spoke up. The others just took it. You know, they just took it. They're not going to question the Savior. But Peter did. Lord, you're going to wash my feet too? And the Lord said, look at verse 7. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. In other words, Jesus said, Peter, what I'm about to do here, you don't understand it right now. But there will be a day when you will. There will be a day when you will understand what I am doing. And so you'll see the Lord's response was quite frank. And Jesus said, Peter, you might not know now why I am doing this, but once the Holy Spirit of God comes and guides you in all truth, you're going to know. You're going to know. But look what Peter came back with. In verse 8, he said, Lord, you will never wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet. I will never allow you to humble and lower yourself like that to me. In Peter's mind, I'm sure that Peter was sitting there thinking, If anything, this ought to be reversed. I ought to be washing your feet. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Folks, don't forget when way earlier in our Lord's ministry, way earlier, the Lord took them all the way up to Caesarea Philippi and asked them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And who spoke up? The Apostle Peter, exactly. And what did Peter say? He said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that was promised all through these Old Testament scriptures. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Peter knows who Jesus is. And he believes, he knows that he's the Son of God. And if anything, Peter was sitting there thinking to himself, wow, this ought to be the other way around. Lord, I ought to be washing your feet and not you washing mine. But look at verse 9. The Lord Jesus said, but Peter, if I don't wash you, then you're not washed at all. And you have no part with me. Look at that. Let me read it. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And in other words, he says, well, Lord, if you don't, Peter or Jesus said to Peter, if I don't wash you, you got no, you're not going to be washed at all. And that's true. You know, there's nobody else that can wash you. Nobody else can take away your sin. Nobody else can cleanse you. Nobody else can redeem you. And so he says in verse 8, at the end of the verse, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And so look at what happened in verse 9. In verse 9, Peter said, Lord, if that's the case, then not my feet only, but wash my hands and my head. In other words, wash all of me. Just clean me up. If I'm dirty and I have to be washed in order to have a part with you, then just go ahead and scrub me down. I'm good with it. But Peter didn't quite understand what the Lord was saying. So let's find out what the Lord was saying, all right? Go back to verse 8. If I wash thee not, thou hast no what? Part with me. All right, now, let's let the Bible interpret the Bible, okay? Go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, I'm sure you remember this story. The Lord Jesus is in the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Look at verse 38. Now, it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. That village was Bethany. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, what did she do? She sat at the Lord's feet and she heard his word. But Martha, notice the contrast, but Martha. So Mary is in the front room and she is sitting on the floor and she is listening to the Lord speak. She is enthralled with his words. But Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come in and help me. Well, Martha was upset because Mary didn't help her cook. Mary was sitting on the floor, listening to every word the Lord had to say. And so, in verse 42, verse 41, the Lord said this, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Thou art careful. That word, you and I would probably use the word anxious or fretful or worried. You just worry, you worry too much, Martha. All right? You're careful. You're a worrier, and you're troubled about too many things. But one thing is what? One thing. Wow, if one thing is needful, I think we better find out what that is, don't you? And Mary hath chosen that good, what's the next word? Part. Huh. Huh. Which shall not be taken away from her. Mary hath chosen the good part. I wonder what the word part means. Well, I think that in a nutshell, it means fellowship. Isn't that what Mary was doing? Wasn't she sitting in the floor and fellowshipping with the Lord? All right, hold your place here in John now and go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if you look down at verse 14, the Bible here says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, the answer is none, right? Read on. And what communion hath light with darkness? None. None. The light overcomes the darkness, doesn't it? The darkness does not overcome the light. The light overcomes the darkness. Verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what, what's the next word? Part. Hath he that believeth with an unbeliever, an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So folks, I think that if we just let the Bible interpret the Bible, we can see that the word part can very easily be a synonym with the word fellowship. It can be a synonym for the word communion. It can be a synonym for the word concord. And it can be a synonym in verse 16 with the word agreement. What was Mary doing? She was enjoying, as Jesus said, the good part, which is what? Fellowship. Fellowship. So Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash away your sin, you cannot fellowship with me. And so Peter then responds and said, well, Lord, if that's true, then wash me from head to toe. All right, now, look at the next, look at the last one here, number three. Let me give you the interpretation. Look at verse 10. So Peter says in verse 9, well, then wash me all over. Jesus said to him, watch this now, he that is washed, all right, washed, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all of you. You see, he was talking here about Judas. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he saith unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Now, let's look at the interpretation. And if you look at verse 10, you will see the Lord teaching the disciples why he just did what he did. Jesus broke the picture down for Peter and the rest of the disciples so that everyone could learn. And he says to them, listen, if you have had a bath, you don't need another bath. You just need to wash off your feet. You see, back in Bible times, they didn't have, shoes like we have shoes today. They wore sandals or they went barefoot. And they wore sandals. And listen, if you take a bath and then on those old dusty paths over there and roads over there, you walk 20 feet, you're going to have dirty feet. I mean, the dust is just everywhere. The dirt is just everywhere. And so he says to them, if you've had a bath, then you don't need another bath. All you need is your walk cleaned up. Your walk cleaned up. You just need to wash that which has gotten dirty as you are going through life. And folks, right here is the water that washes you clean. Amen. This book right here is the water. It's a picture of that water that the Lord Jesus used in that basin. You see, if you're saved, you don't need to get re-saved. No, you're already saved. Look at what Jesus said. He said, he that is washed, he that is bathed, needeth not save to wash off his feet. Two different words are used here. For one translated washed and the other to wash. All right? Two different words. But he says here, you don't need another bath. All you need to do is get the dust off your feet as you have walked in this world. You're clean all over. Your heart has been washed in the blood, and ye are clean. You're clean. You don't have to get saved and then get saved and then get saved and then get saved. Folks, that's why folks have so much difficulty getting victory. Because they don't realize that if you've been saved, you're clean every whit. Right. You say, well then, you know, I just need to get saved again. No. No. How many times did Jesus die on that cross? Once. Once. And you don't have to go back and say, wait a minute, that first death was not sufficient. That first death was not sufficient. I need to get saved again. No, you don't. No, you don't. What you need to do is you need to get in the Word of God and grow. Amen. You need to get in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God and give you some victory in your Christian life. Listen very carefully, folks. There is a washing which believers have in Christ that never needs repeated. And when the blood of Christ washes away your sin, you are clean. A preacher of the past said, in Christ there is found a cleansing that is never lost. In Hebrews 10:14, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are set apart. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This cleansing of sin needs no repetition. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again once. He did not say, you must be born again and again and again and again and again. No, once. Once. The songwriter says, all my iniquities on him were laid. All of them. Past, present, future. I mean, even the sins that I have not committed yet. Those sins were also laid upon my Savior 2,000 years ago when he went to the cross. Folks, if you've been bathed in the blood of God's eternal Son, you do not need that to repeat that like it was a process or something. No, sir. I just happened to notice the other morning while I was showering, the shampoo bottle said, pour a small amount, rub it into your scalp, and then rinse, and then repeat. I looked at that bottle and I said, what? Now let's be honest. Do any of y'all repeat? I don't. I never have. Never have. And when I read that, I thought, man, thank the Lord I don't have to come and get saved every time I sin against God. I am so glad that I don't have to do that. All I have to do, according to 1 John 1:9, is confess my sin to him. And when I do, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that means keep short accounts with God. Short accounts with God. I do need to wash the dirt off of me every day. And so do you. I mean, we walk through this old world, we're going to get some dirt on us. You see, our feet picture our walk. Oh, I'm saved. When God looks at my heart, all he sees is the blood of his dear Son. But as I go through this old dirty, evil, filthy, rotten world every day, some of that dirt is going to get on my feet as I walk. So I need to wash off the dirt. I need to get that dirt off of me. And as I go through life, it gets on me, but thank God, it'll wash right off. It'll wash right off. I just simply need to come to the Lord. You know, Psalm 66, verse 18, one of my favorite verses. And David said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But you know, you can flip that around and it still works. If I regard iniquity in my heart, I won't hear God. So we need to keep our feet clean, don't we? Every day. Every day. Martin Luther said, the devil allows no man to reach heaven with clean feet from the start of his Christian walk to his finish. And boy, that's true. That's true. I've heard folks say that they just have so much difficulty praying. Well, maybe you ought to wash your feet before you pray. Might help. Might help. Maybe God is not hearing you because you're trying to get into the throne room of heaven with muddy shoes on. One day a little boy was asked by an adult, and it was early in the day. And the little boy was standing in line at a grocery store with his mother. And this fellow walked by and looked that boy up and down and rustled his hair a little bit and said, "My goodness, boy, how did you get so dirty so fast this morning?" And the mother looked over at that man and said, "Oh, he didn't get that dirty this morning. He went to bed looking like that last night." Folks, don't go to bed with dirty feet. We'd be out playing all day in the summertime, playing ball and running through the woods and doing all the other things that kids do. We'd come home and my mother would say, "Hit the bathtub." "Why? Look at you." And I would look down and I'd say, "Oh, yeah. See, you got to keep your feet clean. If you tried to get into bed with dirty legs and feet, my mother would have nailed you to the wall and left you for the buzzards." Let's wash our feet every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word, and I pray that you will bless this to our hearts. It is a very important passage of Scripture, a very important thing the Lord showed here. And so, Father, we ask you to use the message tonight to just draw us closer to you. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will apply the word as is needed here this evening. Bless us now. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, wonder how many will say, "Pastor, pray for me. I need that. I needed that challenge tonight. And I need to get in the book. I need to get in my Bible. And I need to let the water of the word wash my old dirty feet." So pray for me, preacher. Would you lift your hand all over this building and let's make a decision for the Lord tonight? Amen. What a wonderful sight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good. All right. Father, you know our hearts now. And I want to pray for everyone who raised their hand. And I just pray that you will help us to be committed to getting in the book and keeping short accounts with you. Help us to keep our feet clean. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.